Hebrews chapter 6. Wherefore, going further and going on from the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. What he means is maturity. I have to remember that the Bible is not written in English or whatever our first language is, but Old Testament mainly written in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek. And sometimes you're translating from one language to another, you can sometimes not quite get the idea right, or the English or whatever changes its meaning over the years. So it's not that we're going to ever be without sin. The idea is that we grow up, that we mature. And he said earlier in chapter 5 that we should go on from milk that you have when you're a baby to solid food that you have when you're older. So he's now saying, let's go on from the first principles of Christ. We don't need to lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So repenting, recognizing that you have sinned, is a foundation. And without that, you will never really believe. So not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and I think that must mean faith that he will forgive you, nor the doctrine of baptism, nor laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God allows. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made sharers in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So those of them who had had the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, he's saying that if they, having had those gifts, then turn away and blaspheme, as it were, the Holy Spirit, well, how can they repent while they're doing that? Of course, if they do repent, well, then they stop doing it. So it's possible, he says, to crucify the Son of God again. That shows that although Jesus is in heaven, he really gets hurt to the point of crucifixion by how we treat him on earth.
So is Jesus going to get crucified again?
No, not literally. He died once and now he lives forever. So he's not going to physically be crucified again. But Paul says here that it's possible to put the Son of God to an open shame, and to crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. So, although he won't literally die, the same pain that he felt and the same shame that he felt when he was crucified, he feels again when people who know his name deny him and bring shame upon his name. So he's very sensitive. And why is he so sensitive? Because he loves us so much. If you love somebody and then they're nasty to you, then that really hurts you. Whereas if somebody you just don't know anything about and have no feelings for, if they hurt you, well, it doesn't hurt so much. So this is why, because of his great love, he has this great sensitivity. So let's not do anything that causes him shame. For the land which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth plants suitable for those who are tending it, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, then it is going to be rejected. And the end of those things is to be burnt. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that go along with salvation, even though we say this. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labour of love, which you show toward his name, in that you served the saints, and you still do serve them. So when you do something for God's people, the saints, the special ones of God, then you do it towards his name. This is why when Jesus comes back, he'll say, well done. When I was hungry, you fed me. And they'll say, we will say, when? And he will say, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers. And he says then that God is not going to forget that. Now, we do tend to forget good deeds that are done to us and even by us, but God will not. Not that we're saved by works, but again, you see that God is sensitive to how we act. And we wish, Paul says, that each one of you should show the same diligent effort to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you are not unfruitful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's not that we are saved by our works, but the works are an evidence of our fruit, because faith without works is dead. If you really believe that you're saved by grace, you won't be passive to that. Grace will have its fruit. When God made promises to Abraham, since he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And then, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men usually swear by a greater person, and in every argument of theirs, an oath is considered to be the end of all further argument. And so God, willing to more abundantly show to the heirs of the promise how his word would not change, confirmed it by an oath, a very solemn promise, that by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong comfort and encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope which is set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that which is within the veil, that's the most holy place, where the forerunner, Jesus, has entered for us, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he says, we can have strong encouragement and comfort who have fled for refuge to the hope set before us. And he's referring to the cities of refuge, where under the law of Moses, if you killed somebody accidentally, like you were cutting a tree down and the axe head went flying off accidentally and hit somebody on the head and killed them, then you could be killed for that by their relatives, but you could run immediately to a city of refuge. And once you were in that town, within its walls, you would be safe. And when the high priest died, you were then free to go out and be like anybody else. And all that, Paul is saying, looks forward to Jesus. So as soon as you sin, as soon as you think, oh, beep, beep, in your conscience, I know I did wrong, flee for refuge. Ask for God to forgive you and run into Jesus. And it's through his death as the high priest that we're saved.